Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust, cause we'll be crushing it up. Somebody say you
I sound a little different. It's because I am joining you off on the phone from parts unknown. I'm on the road today. Jeffrey is in studio. Jeffrey will be handling part of this show as I duck in and out. Good morning, Jeffrey. How are you feeling after the Toronto Raptors became the world champions?
Richer.
How much money did you make off Toronto Raptors?
Enough to offset Pac-12 football losses.
Oh, how about enough to... You had a computer stolen recently.
Indeed.
Out of your...
Half. I can get half of that back.
What, you got half of it back?
I got half of it back.
Okay. So I'm going to say... And it was a Mac, right? It was a... What was it?
It was a 13-inch MacBook Pro with touch bar.
Okay, and you can and half of the cost of a new Mac is what you have is what you've made on the Raptors.
Thus far, yes. But hey,
do you mean thus far? It's done, baby. It's done.
Yeah, but there's still day baseball today. I can flip that.
Okay. No,
I can double
on the Raptors,
that up.
But you can't make anything on the Raptors. Oh, I see. Take that money. The Raptors money. You can take the rat. That's how it works. This is how you degenerates end up on this world, living out of a cardboard box. Today on the show, Jason Smith is going to join us in the next segment. He will be rolling in. And Chris Harrington, of course, will join us at 10 o'clock. And as I said, I'll be here and Jeffrey will be here. And we will see you through to the weekend. Has it not been absolutely – I mean, I am now on the road, but I was in Memphis much of yesterday. It's been a ridiculous week. I mean, has this been the single most glorious week that you can ever remember in Memphis in terms of just perfection?
Yeah, I almost forgot it was June yesterday. Like, you know what I mean?
Didn't they used to have the golf tournament in June? They used to have the golf – and it was –
The golf tournament would have been – the golf tournament would have ended – this past Sunday, and think about how many players wouldn't come because, quote, it's too hot.
It's too hot, yeah. It's been just absolutely fantastic. You know what it's been feeling like? You know what it's felt a little bit like? It's a little bit like felt like Toronto South.
It did.
I don't want to say, listen, I know people are upset that they think it's overwrought and overdone, the Toronto South thing, and I understand that. But you explain to me why it's been 72 degrees in Memphis this week, if it's not Toronto South. There's no other scientific explanation except for Marc Gasol and Kyle Lowry's, the influence of Marc Gasol and Kyle Lowry.
Jeff, I'll do you one better.
Yes.
The current temperature right now in Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fit. Now they got some wind coming through. I guess they.
That's exactly right. That's a championship wind blowing through. Yeah.
It's only 10 degrees difference today in terms of high.
Actually, I'm surprised it's that much. I mean, it's been so beautiful. I'm surprised it's even. What's the high in Memphis today?
Today, the high in Memphis, I believe, is 81. Let me double check on that.
Okay, a scalding 81.
Balmy 81.
And in Toronto, it's like 71 or something like that.
It's 83 today. Sorry.
Okay. Marc Gasol is a world champion, and listen, there were so many. I mean, what a surreal.
It really
what
was.
I am not one of these people who pretends that the NBA is bigger than the NFL. It's not. I'm not one of these people who says that the NBA is bigger than college football. It's not. Is it? I don't think it is, right? College
football, it's not.
Yeah, it's not. Like, but if there is a sport that is the best, you know, the closest thing to reality TV, it is, and indeed is actually reality, it is the NBA. What we have witnessed over the last few weeks has been nothing short of extraordinary, with Durant and now Clay both going down with in the midst of this Masai Ujiri, who's on the podium accepting the trophy, talking about how winning this for Toronto, as we learn from Woj that he's going to be offered a truckload of fortune to go to the Wizards. Just like everything about this is practically surreal, the way that it played out. So it was just a crazy night, and there were lots of things to talk about, lots of pieces of this to talk about. I think we have to start with Mark, and he was asked by Doris Burke last night. He was asked about his brother. Obviously, he and his brother now first brothers to win NBA championships, And so good for Mark, and I think most of Memphis is happy for him. He was asked by Doris Burke about that, and it's interesting. There's no one else who was asked. I honestly don't remember it. Like, I don't ever remember anyone who's joined a team being asked as part of the celebration about their prior team. Do you ever? I mean, team. Players do join teams in progress all the time.
Correct.
Do you ever remember someone as part of the championship celebration? And by the way, how about your former teammates? I've never. That's how closely Mark is identified with Memphis, and it's partly because Mark insists that he be identified with Memphis. She only asked that question because Mark sort of talked about it earlier. About Tony and Zebo and Memphis, et cetera. Do you ever recall such a thing? I don't recall such a thing.
Well, I was trying to remember. I don't really remember many trade deadline deals in the NBA that led to titles. Like that's
I can't think about it. They're very common in like the NHL. They're extraordinarily common.
Oh, I'm sorry about
the
that,
NHL,
buddy.
And,
I'm really
and baseball.
Sorry about that.
No, well, that the Ryan O'Reilly one wasn't a deadline deal, but like in baseball too. Baseball, it's commonplace. You pick up someone for the stretch run. You need extra pitching. You pick up someone for the stretch run. Like it's a very common phenomenon. Is you load up for the stretch run, and yet I don't remember anyone ever being asked. And how about your old teammates? Are you carrying them with you? It's just something I think is unique, and I think it speaks to how identified Mark is with the city of Memphis. Anyway, here was the answer to the question.
No, I'm not going to let you go because I got one more important one. Now is your brother, but you also left brethren in Memphis in the middle of a season after grinding and trying to get right here. To Zebo and to Mike and to those men who grinded with you, you say what?
Thank you. Thank you guys for making me the man and the player that I am. And, you know, I'll be thankful forever.
Congratulations.
There you go. So,
but to answer your question, no, I cannot recall that. And I think I've watched every trophy presentation maybe since, I don't know, probably 1994-ish.
Right. Yeah, it's just, You don't get. I mean, I'm. This is not the kind. You know, I'm not great at summoning up at a moment's notice trade line deals who ended up in places. But I know it's extraordinarily common in baseball. It's extraordinarily common in hockey. That's not common in the NFL. That common just because there's not that many deals in the NFL. Period. There's not many trades in the NFL. That is how closely identified with Memphis Mark is, that we saw something last night that I've literally never seen before. Now, I confess, with the Mark thing, I think it's overdone in the sense of they were celebrating in Toronto last night wildly, and there was a great shot. There was a great shot of someone on the 37th floor of a building in Toronto, and they just were filming and whatever, capturing what they saw out of their hotel room. And from the 37th floor of this building, the whole city just sounded, the city, it wasn't down on the street level. It was just way up in the air. You could hear the whole city celebrating. No one last night in Memphis, as much as I can imagine, was out there honking their horn and celebrating for Mark. Like, this idea that all of Memphis is going crazy for Mark is silly. It's just not true. Memphis is happy for Mark because Memphis likes Mark. And so Memphis basically is saying, yeah, good for him. You know, like, good for him. We're happy. I hope Mike wins one next. Would have been nice if he could have won one as a Grizzly, but good for Mark. To me, for most people, that is the extent of it. To me, I confess, there has been such a Mark backlash that in addition to rooting against the Warriors, although I'll get to them in a minute last night, and the incredible, let's be honest, guts that they showed, I've gotten to the point now that I enjoy Mark winning a title because you few miserable people out there who resent Mark winning a title have been so over the top with your blowback against people just wanting good things from Mark that I hate to say this, I've been wishing misery upon you, and I hope you enjoyed it last night when Mark was winning a title. And I know a lot of you were still sputtering about how he only scored 3 points and whatever. And here's the thing. Mark doesn't give a flip. And, you know, Mark...
He looked pretty happy with that trophy, didn't he?
Yeah, he looked totally happy with the trophy. For people who say that, yeah, well, Mark wasn't the key to it all, it was Kawhi, I would say that's what Mark has always wanted. Yes, we all agree. Like, that is what Mark wants. Mark wants to be a piece of the puzzle. And the only people who were ever mad at Mark were people who wanted him to be more than a piece to the puzzle. And when the puzzle was Zebo, and you know who else was a piece to the puzzle? Tony was a piece to the puzzle. And Mike was a piece to the puzzle. And, like, that's all he wants to be. He is the antithesis of the look at me American. He's just the opposite. He is the antithesis of that. And if that bothered you, that was fine. But I got over that long ago because I knew not only did I not get, I get over it long ago, I celebrated it long ago. I think it's wonderful that he doesn't need to be the star, and he doesn't need to have the most Twitter followers, and doesn't need to be I admire that about him, that he does not have the ego that needs him to. Now, does he make a lot of money for a bit piece? Yes, he makes not a bit piece for a piece, but yes, he makes a lot of money, but he's not a bit piece. As Steve Simmons said when he came on earlier this week, Steve Simmons, the columnist in Toronto, they simply would not have been there for Mark, but for Mark, and they wouldn't have. They would not have been there but for Mark. And so you can look at whatever numbers you want and anything else. They would not have been there but for Mark. And yes, I'm happy for Mark. And for anyone who just, this is what I've never understood. I don't care if you're happy for Mark or not, you miserable people out there. I don't care if you're happy for Mark or not. You can be happy, you can be resentful, you whatever. I don't understand why you're trying to stop other people, but why you resent other people for being happy for Mark. That's the part I don't get. If you want to be happy for Mark or not want to be happy for Mark, then do whatever. You can not care about him because he's not wearing Grizzly blue anymore because he didn't take enough shots or whatever else. But I don't understand why other people's joy over Mark makes you so upset. That seems like a weird and small way to live. So he looked happy last night. and I was happy for him last night. Any further thoughts on Mark Jeffrey?
No, I think you're spot on. It's the reaction, the people that are saying I'm sick of y'all being happy for Mark. Like, it's main, you're so spot on. Like, I didn't hear cars going through the streets of Memphis last night honking their horn, you know, celebrating a championship.
Happy for Mark.
But the fact, like, you're right though, like, it's the overreaction to the people going, good for Mark. Like,
it's exactly right. There's this wild, crazy, and my theory all along has been it's not people who are, they're not really inspired by the overreaction, by people being happy. What they never liked really Mark in the first place. And so then when you say good for Mark, it triggers them because they were sick of Mark to begin with. I don't think there's anyone who's out there tweeting about screw Mark, and it's a very small group, who wasn't among the small cluster of Mark haters to begin with. At the end of the thing. Anyway, good for Mark. Moving on. In terms of Toronto, it is absolutely true. Well, two things. First, there's been a lot of talk this past week about how the Grizzlies have to stick with their coach through thick and thin, right? Thick and thin. That's the way you win titles. You stick with your coach through thick and thin.
Yep.
You have the only way to do it is to have continuity, baby, and that is literally the only way to build a championship team. This week, we have seen both in the NHL and in the NBA, two teams which changed coaches, not even last summer, but during the season, win the titles. I guess the only way to win a title is not necessarily to stick with a coach through thick and thin. The truth of the matter is, particularly in the NBA, it's roster. I mean, it's not even that. Like, look at Larry Brown. Look at Larry Brown of the Pistons. Same thing. This is what we see. You know,
Jeff, I'll tell you one better. The last three teams to win championships in the NBA, starting with the Warriors, the Cavs when they won in 2016, and now this year, all three of those teams, their first championship was won with a first-year head coach.
Not only first-year head coach, Jeff,
like, that was their first head coaching job. Steve Kerr, Ty Lue, Nick Nurse. Like, their first NBA head coaching job.
Everyone is upset at the Grizzlies for A, changing coaches, and then B, giving it to people who was their first coaching job, right? There's like the last five Grizzlies coaches or whatever it is. It's their first coaching job.
Correct.
And people get upset by that. Well, it turns out, as Jeffrey just points out, the last three championship teams, the first year they won, it was the first coaching job. And that doesn't mean that I'm endorsing getting rid of Lionel Hollins when they got rid of Lionel Hollins, or getting rid of Dave Yeager when they got rid of Dave Yeager. If you have a good coach, it doesn't really make sense to toss the good coach overboard, although Toronto just tossed the coach of the year overboard. Who knows? It's simply, I think in the NBA, coaching stability is wildly overrated. And I forgot what Chris's stat was. You could bring when he comes on at 10 o'clock. Like a month when the Grizzlies made the coaching change, he had a stat about where the Grizzlies were in terms of, you know, most coaches. And it's staggering. Like, there are lots of teams that have – because he's basically sort of in the middle in terms of in terms of number of coaches. It's crazy what the coaching turnover in the NBA, and it's because let's be honest, they're kind of disposable. Like, they really are. Like, this is not the NBA of Pat Riley and of Red Auerbach and of Red Holtzman and of even Dr. Jack Ramsey. This is not the NBA of these dominant coaching personalities. This is an NBA of stars and coaches who come in and have their run and then whatever. But in terms of the title that Toronto won, like, Nick Nurse is well behind Kawhi. He's well behind Kyle Lowry. He's well behind, like, he did it. Seemed like he did a nice job, except in game five when he didn't do a nice job because he called a timeout when they were about to win the damn title. So, but I don't, What I want the Grizzlies to get right is the roster. And if they get the roster right, I'm quite confident they'll ultimately get the coach right. Don't you believe that?
No, it's what I – Chris and I talked about this. I don't know if we talked about it yesterday or the day before. Perhaps, honestly, we could have talked about it both days. But to me, when everyone talks about the new smart way of doing it and bringing in smart people to, you know, and having a smart coach and all this, like, if the roster ends up working out, if Ja Morant ends up being a very good player, if Jaren Jackson ends up being a very good player, if they turn Mike Conley into a very good player, if they get another draft pick that ends up being a very good player, and in 3 years' time, and maybe after they get Chandler off the books, if they're able to sign a couple of guys that make a lot of sense and they're able to be successful, then yes, this is going to look like they're going to champion. See, this is why we did it. It's a smart way of doing it. And if Ja Morant ends up not working out, if Jaren maybe, you know, doesn't develop into the way that we think he will, and they're not really able to turn Mike Conley into useful assets, and it falls flat on their face, then yeah, it's going to be a disaster. Everyone's going to point to, see, analytics doesn't work. But it all falls back to the exact same point. It's not about how smart you are as a front office and as a coaching staff. It's about how smart the moves you are, and do they work out?
Right. No, there's no question. I mean, the key last night wasn't Nick Nurse. The key was drafting Pascal Siakam.
Yes.
Drafting and developing Pascal Siakam. I want the Grizzlies.
Well, and Jeff, going all in on Kawhi.
Let me
sorry.
Yeah, I want the Grizzlies to but the Grizzlies, you know, he's having a hard time getting Kawhi.
Sure, for sure.
Whereas they can go get a Pascal Siakam.
Yes.
It is more important to me that the Grizzlies have a front office that is able to identify a Pascal Siakam than it is that they have a front office that's unable to identify Nick Nurse. And if you can do that, if you can make those moves, and honestly, like, they needed the pieces in order to even get Kawhi. They needed the pieces to deal for Kawhi. So, they had built a strong base of talent, and they needed the pieces to get Mark. You know, they only could deal Mark because they had the pieces to get Mark. Anyway, there's not many lessons. Like, the other thing that people are saying is, are other teams now going to make these kind of risky one-year plays for stars? And does that seem worthwhile now that we? And I'll be honest. I think Toronto was an extraordinary circumstance. I don't think this has become a trendy thing to do, to spend all your assets getting a player who you think is going to be there for 1 year. Toronto was. It made a lot of sense because they had so many failures before. So they were at a point where they were going to have to re-gear anyway. And so you might as well take your shot with Kawhi. And then if you need to re-gear, you've still got young talent on that team who you can re-gear with. So the idea that this is going to be some kind of a trend seems to me to be silly. I don't believe that this is going to be some kind of trend, although you got to give Masai Ujiri incredible credit for A, the Nick Nurse thing, B, the Kawhi thing, C, the Mark trade, without which any of them, without which making those three bold moves, they would not be holding the championship trophy. Now, they also would not be holding the championship trophy today, I don't believe, had not Klay Thompson gone down. Do you believe that? If Klay had remained healthy?
Yeah, I 100% believe that.
He was just
He had 30 points and 30 points basically.
In 32 minutes. A point, yeah. He was unbelievable. That pull-up three was just from like 6 feet beyond the three-point line. He didn't even think. He just pulls up, drains that three, and you're like, holy crap, we're going to have a game seven. I mean, they were absolutely on course to have a game seven.
Oh, I'll tell you, even worse, Jeff. I'm sitting there thinking, because, you know, I've had the Raptors plus 220 since the beginning of the series. I'm thinking not only are we going to have game seven, I'm thinking we're going to have game seven. Now all the pressure is on Toronto. And I was thinking it was going to be the Warriors moment just like when LeBron came back from down 3-1, it was going to be their comeback, their 3-1 comeback.
Right, because let's be honest. Good for Toronto for winning this thing.
Yeah.
I still don't have great confidence in Toronto with the clutch. You know who I have confidence in? Fred VanVleet. That guy was unbelievable. Just unbelievable. But that team did not. I mean, now Clay goes out, and obviously Durant is out, and they've got Jonas Jerebko out there, and they can't catch him. And it was just incredibly frustrating to watch because I don't think – I hate to say this. I don't think the Raptors are some incredibly clutch outfit now. They had a hell of a time subduing the Warriors without their – two of the best players in the league, and so it was scary. I'm not sure they would have won Game 7 because I don't know what we would have gotten from them. I don't know, in Game 7 they could have just as easily crumbled under that pressure. The Warriors have been there, but the Warriors were incredibly gallant last night, and I don't think there's much doubt that if Clay had remained healthy, that they were going to win and that we were going to have a Game 7. Instead, and just this body blow of bad things that have happened to Golden State, Clay goes up, Clay comes down, Clay's knee buckles, and I got to give you, Dr. Jeffrey, all the credit in the world because when he came back to shoot the free throw, obviously he came back, he was walking out to the tunnel, and then he came back to shoot the free throw because had someone else shot it, he would not have been allowed to come back in the game. And so there's a huge ovation at Oracle, and everyone's, my God, Clay's coming back. You texted me, yeah, no, I don't believe it. It's a torn ACL. And it was Chad Kelly that made you think this?
Yes. So Chad Kelly did the same thing when he tore his ACL his senior year where he gets hit. The knee buckled in a very similar fashion. And to be fair, the first replays I saw was like, okay, maybe that's hyperextended. Then there was that one very last replay, and you could see the knee kind of snap. And then that was exactly what I thought of because I watched Chad Kelly walk off the field, and, everyone kind of had that moment when he walked off, like, okay, good, he walked off. And I'm like, that doesn't really have anything to do with it.
Yeah. And so the next thing we knew is we hear from Doris Burke that he's jumping up and down in the locker room. And that was promising. Jumping up and down sounds good.
And he was talking with his dad saying, I
didn't hear a pop. Right. That happens. And then the next thing you get this very somber Doris Burke coming back saying he's done for the game. And then we get the report after the game that he is, in fact, has torn ACL. And he will now be out certainly until late next season. And so you have a Warriors team, which, listen, as a confirmed Warriors hater, and I only hate them because I hate greatness, which is a weird thing, I confess. Why do I? But it's just how, when you're from Buffalo, that's what you do. You just hate all these teams that win all the time. And what's there to hate about Clay? Nothing. Right? I mean, there's nothing to hate about Clay. There's nothing to hate. There's not much except for the mouth guard to hate about Steph. There's nothing to hate about Steve Kerr. You can hate Durant, but even then, it's just for being human, too human, right? Really, right? And you can hate Draymond. I think that's an easy one because he's kind of, he's kind of irritating. But there's nothing to hate about Clay. And I have to say, it was about as great an end of a horrible, like for the long term, for both those players and for the history and for the future of the franchise, but about as gallant an end of a championship run as I can ever remember. I mean, that is a boxer getting up off the mat 7 different times, who is a boxer who has won multiple championships, getting up off the mat after getting knocked down, a whole bunch of different times and continuing. It was incredible what they were doing last night. And I do think last name at Oracle, like it was as the Warriors have, as much as they distinguish themselves as one of the all-time great teams in victory, I think they added to their luster in defeat. Don't you?
Yeah. You made this point a couple of days ago. It is weird how with that Durant injury, they almost overnight went from being like the ultimate villain and you know, unfair team and to being like one of the most like respectable and admirable underdogs almost overnight. It was so weird.
Well, and the truth is, I think you have to acknowledge that they had overwhelming talent before. And the fact, I mean, let's be honest, even without Durant, it reminded us. I mean, they're better with Durant. But when you see what Draymond is capable of, when you see what Clay is capable of, when you see what Steph is capable of, like, they have just overwhelming talent, right? But they also, and I think this is true, we saw it last night, what people would call heart, right? And we saw it in defeat. But it's obviously been there all along, right? I mean, it's been there all along.
Last night proved for me is we saw, like, inevitably, LeBron's somehow going to make this about him, so I might as well just go ahead and do it for him. Like, Gary has pointed this out that LeBron has a tendency to, like, take things off. And, like, when the going gets tough, like, you know, and he thinks it's inevitable he's going to lose, he just kind of mails it in. Man, those guys last night, at no point did I ever think they're going to mail it in. And they had so many opportunities to mail it in. Like, after Clay gets hurt and then Toronto makes another run, they could have easily just been like, you know what, guys, this was a hell of an effort, but it's just not going to happen for
us. And they never did. They never did. Yeah. What do you believe, and so now you've got this Warriors future, and boy, it sets up the whole offseason. Now, Mujeres is in play. Obviously, Anthony Davis is in play. Kyrie Irving is in play. And now you've got these two superstars, both of whom are free agents, both of whom KD is going to miss all next year, and Clay is going to miss most of next year. Will the Warriors ever win another title?
I'm going to say no. I think this is the end.
What if they both resign?
Well, let me rephrase it. I think this version of the Warriors, this is the end.
I don't mean ever, but I mean will Steph and Draymond win another title with the Warriors?
No, I think this is the end.
Steph is never going to win another title.
I mean, I know you're not supposed to never say never, but like,
who's going to start winning them?
I mean, that's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, you start looking at guys, it's very rare for guys to win titles after 32 years old.
All right, but so let's pretend that they just say, screw it. We're going to go ahead and sign them both. KD, we're going to sign KD, and we're going to sign Clay.
Then sure.
And so Clay is going to – and so in 2 years, and Clay will be fine. I believe. Don't you believe Clay will be fine? Clay will likely be fine.
It is not. It's not uncommon to come back from an ACL and be fine yourself.
So he'll likely be fine, and he's awesome. And Draymond can still be awesome, and Steph can still be awesome. And KD, with the Achilles, his game is at least it's shooting and length, both of which he will still have. Right? He may not be the same. But you don't need to be the same KD. As we pointed out, they were winning titles before KD, even, you know. And so if some version of KD, you tell me, in 2 years, would they be favorites to win the title? If that group comes back in 2 years, will they be favorite? Not next year, obviously, but will they be favorite to win the title? Who's going to start winning the titles? Like, who's going to win the West next year?
I mean, I guess it partly depends on what happens with the Lakers. Where does Anthony Davis wind up? But, like, at a certain point, like, this does become, like, Giannis Antetokounmpo's league. This does become, you know, Anthony Davis's league. This does, like, there is going to be, like, that flip.
But if the Lakers end up getting Anthony Davis, they no longer have, I mean, they'll have LeBron, and they'll have Anthony Davis, and they'll have, but they won't have Brandon Ingram, right? They won't have the pick. They won't be adding anyone, certainly, with the pick. They won't have Lonzo Ball, whatever you think of that, clearly. So that at least they won't have those players as part of it. So it'll be whether they have Kyle Kuzma or not, who knows. But Anthony Davis, LeBron, and Kyle Kuzma is a pretty good start. Houston, Chris Paul keeps getting older. We hear about friction between Chris Paul and James Harden.
We hear that everyone other than James Harden is available. And the truth is, Jeff, like, I don't know, like, maybe this is hot take sports talk radio guy, but, man, at a certain point, like, when I haven't seen James Harden win series when he had the advantage, like, I don't know. Like, I just have to question whether or not, like, is he just that guy?
Who doesn't win in the postseason? Yeah. Anyway, the whole thing was that was, like, the last few games have been just
awesome theater.
Absolutely incredible theater. I will tell you that it is the Friday before Father's Day. If, let's be honest, fathers get screwed generally in life. Mothers, you think about your Mother's Day gift probably maybe 2 weeks ahead. Everyone knows Mother's Day is coming. Father's Day is like the afterthought. It comes along later. It's just your father, for God's sakes. We'll get him whatever. We'll walk in and get him a necktie or a book or whatever, just like from wherever.
Starbucks gift card.
A Starbucks, yeah, that's it. Perfect. Like, we're going to give him a $25 Starbucks gift card.
Spoiler alert, Dad.
And don't do that. Do not do that. Go to Old Call. Go to Old Call and get him something that I really like. Right now, I'm wearing my Old Call, that pullover thing, that sweater, that zipper. Yeah, the quarter. Thank you. I'm wearing the quarter zip. And it's because when you have a nice, really quality piece of clothing, it makes a difference in your whole life. And so why not, like, he's your dad. He's been good to you. Why not do that? He may be a little inept in certain ways. He may have certain deficiencies. Maybe I'm projecting here, but he tried his best.
But
he tries really hard. He tried his best, for God's sakes. And right now you can go and you get him three items. The first item will be 15% off. The second item will be 20% off. And the third item will be 25% off. And he will thank you. And he will know that you recognize that despite his failings, that he has tried his damnedest to be the best flawed father he can be. So get to Old Call and take care of your father for Father's Day. You got today, you got tomorrow. That's it. Get over there. We got to take a break. When we come back, Jason Smith's going to join us. Jeff Cox, show 92.9 FM ESPN.
21 Pilots, live, the Bandito Tour.
I'm taking my time on my ride.
June 26th at FedEx Forum.
When the mama said us to sleep, but now we're stressed.
Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com and Ticketmaster.com.
Sipping on straight boring. Let the vibe slide over me. This beat is a chemical.
21 Pilots, live in concert.
Grizz Nation, it's time to get season tickets. Get a free jersey and get lit with 2019-20 Grizzly season tickets. Starting at just $9 a game. Guarantee the best seats at the best prices. Get your tickets today by calling 901-888-HOOP or click grizzlies.com.
So you're sitting around the kitchen table, having a cup of coffee. You look up, say, Martha, I think it's a crack in our wall. Should we get checked out? And she says, it's nothing. And you say, no. What if it is something? And then Martha says, you know what? We can get that checked out for free. Absolutely free. We might as well. Like, there's no reason not to do it. Maybe you notice there's a floor that's sinking or sloping a little bit. Or maybe you got some water creeping in somewhere. The beautiful thing about Redeemers Group, in addition to the fact that it's a local company that has been serving Memphis and the Mid-South for more than a decade, is that their expert analysis is 100% free. 541-8765, 541-8765. If you have an issue with any of the big stuff, concrete leveling, crawl space repair, basement waterproofing, foundation repair, Redeemers Group are the people to call. They will assess the situation, give you an estimate, and if you want to proceed with the project, mention my name, Jeff Calkins, and you will get a startling $50 off. If there's no problem or you decide not to do anything, will not cost you a penny. How often is expert analysis free? Not very often is expert analysis free, but it is a Redeemers Group. 541-8765 or on the web, redeemersgroup.com.
Down home, nobody leaves the table hungry. Put food on your table tonight with Church's Real Big Family Deal. 12 pieces of chicken, legs, and thighs in original or spicy, and two large sides for just $15. Church's, bringing that down home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
Psst, down here.
Hey, Amy. Welcome to the Xfinity store. Why are you hiding?
Cameras and microphones are everywhere, even in my house. What if I'm hacked? They're watching me.
Oh, with Xfinity XFi, you don't have to worry. It gives you enhanced security for your Wi-Fi network, so all your connected devices are protected, including mics and cameras.
Oh, that sounds great. Can you imagine if we were actually being recorded right now?
We are being recorded for this commercial.
Oh, I tried. protected you.
If it's connected, it's protected with Xfinity XFi. That's simple, easy, awesome. Ask how to get download speeds up to 400 megabits per second, or even faster, up to a gig. Learn more or get started with Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Plus, add XFi Advantage for enhanced network security. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay and 62419. Restrictions apply. New performance starter 25 megabits per second customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
Hi, it's Flo. And you know what word I don't get? Shampoo. The first half of the word is sham, and the second part you definitely don't want to see in the shower. That's why I made up a neat word, Flotection. The feeling of security you get when your new house is protected by home insurance through me and Progressive. I mean, seriously, shampoo? What part of that makes you want to rub it all over your hair?
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Capital One presents a 30-second audio tour of Ireland. Sheep, fairies, golf, charming castle, charming castle, charming castle, charming castle, charming castle.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, you can actually go there when you use the Capital One Venture Card. You earn unlimited double miles on every dollar you spend on every purchase, which means you'll have plenty of miles to actually travel to Ireland. The Capital One Venture Card. What's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank USA N.A.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Well, you better get ready for a brand new day.
You have doubtless heard of the Carpenter Art Garden, that wonderful place in Binghamton that that provides a place for kids to go and make art, be tutored, and everything else. Well, they are also involved with the good people from Triumph Bank, who are this week teaching a 6-week course on financial education and literacy at the Carpenter Art Garden. Carpenter Art Garden, they hire neighborhood kids as staff now, but a lot of them, honestly, like, they don't have a lot of sense of what to do. That just, they haven't been taught what to do with that money. Think about everything that you know and take for granted. How to set up a checking account, how to use a debit card, how to budget, how to save, all of that. And so this is what Triumph does. They've recognized the need. They understand that it's impossible to build any kind of financial future without these basic skills. So they've put together this team of volunteers, including the CEO, Will Chase, to make sure the kids at the Carpenter Art Garden have the knowledge and access that they need. Triumph is a different kind of bank. But it's also how the people at Triumph Bank treats everyone who steps through their doors. Their website is triumphbank.com. Invest in the community and making banking easy for you. Joined now by Jason Smith. Jason Smith is, of course, a half of the Jason and John program. It is on every single day from 11 till 2. I got to step out for a little bit. I'm handing it over to Jeffrey. I will be back later. Jeffrey and Jason, show is yours.
Thank you, sir. Jason, let's start here because we did focus at the open on the second half of Doris Burke's little brief interview that she had with
Memphis
Mark Gasol.
Yep.
I wanted to ask you something. I'm going to play the clip first because I was a little confused myself. So I want to see if we can maybe get to the bottom of this. This was the very first question that Doris Burke asked on the podium of Mark Gasol.
NBA championships. I mean, you grew up in your grandmother's backyard playing. Could you have ever imagined this?
No, I would never imagine this. This is the hardest thing I've ever done. This is awesome. So many people to thank. And it's great. And now it's time to celebrate, you know, with the North.
Okay, the hardest thing I've ever done.
You heard that too.
Okay, because I could also make a case that there might have been, you know, he might have misspoke and meant it would have been hard to imagine. Because the crux of the question was back in Spain, you know, growing up, like, could you imagine yourself winning an NBA championship? Like, that, I could have seen where he said, you know, that would have been the hardest thing to imagine. But, you know, that almost feels like a stretch, like you're kind of going out of your way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Am I right in thinking that feels like that you're maybe trying a little too hard?
I thought about that too. I thought he must mean something else because literally, when he says it, I'm watching then because I'm in I'm in awe of Doris Burke and how she works in that situation. But I'm watching then and tuned in closely, especially when Mark, she gets up and pulls Mark up. And so you're listening closely. You're listening to all the words he's going to say, because obviously there's a Memphis ties. You want to know if he's going to say something profound. And so you're listening right there. And I took it for that. I took it for he's talking about this season. And again, this is hey, let's be happy for Mark Day. There's no question about that. But when I heard hardest thing I've ever done, it's awesome, so many people to thank, it felt like he's talking about this championship season, or certainly winning a title. And, you know, I think he had tougher seasons in Memphis. Now, that said, to your point, he could be talking about his entire career, all that said, but when you're talking about, what, averaging, what, 9 for the playoffs, 9-6, I mean, he had a pretty sweet deal over there with playing with one of the best players. That's all I mean, is he's had tougher seasons. So, anyway, I thought that interested me when he called it. I wondered if he's talking about this season, this playoff run, sort of. Maybe it's too, Mark. And we've all sort of joked around about it, been serious about it, how this is a perfect situation for him, right? Because he doesn't have to be the first or second option.
Correct.
And maybe he's talking about how, well, I've had to take a step back. And maybe for him, he's saying that was tough, that was hard to do. We've all said it's perfect for him, but maybe in his own mind, having to do that was tough, because we know he is a competitor. He's in and out when he wants to be, but he's a competitor, and he certainly was. I mean, you want to win your first title, but maybe he's talking about that, taking sort of getting out of the front seat and into the back seat and sort of letting guys do their thing. But I just found it interesting that he called this one the hardest thing, perhaps talking about something completely different, but that one jumped out to me.
Yeah, maybe it's also possible.
Perfect situation for him.
Maybe it's also possible he means, like, big picture, the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I had to leave a place that's considered home.
Mm-hmm.
I had to
now
leave
that,
in an
that
ugly
makes a
fashion.
Lot more sense.
And it's just, like, when you think about the totality of the season, the fact that, you know, they get off to, I mean, for God's sakes, at Thanksgiving, they were sitting at number one in the Western Conference standings.
Right.
I understand, like, the season isn't played in 17 games. But to go from Thanksgiving to, in February, you know, you've been put on the trading block very publicly, yep, and whatnot. The way that the season kind of fell apart, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're on the trading block. Are you going to get traded? It's 2 weeks. You know, there's just, you know, he has the farewell to Memphis, and then it's like, well, is this even a farewell? Like, there was, maybe he meant, like, in totality, this was the hardest
thing. There's
a
very good chance he did. I would have thought that last night if that was the answer to the second question. You left your brethren in Memphis where you were grinding and gritting, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And where there was a lot of love, obviously, for what those guys did for him. He said, you guys have made me the man that I am. I loved hearing that. But if that answer had come on Doris's question about leaving Memphis, then, yeah, I'm not thinking twice about, hey, hardest thing ever. But it really came on the question, if I'm not mistaken, she asked him, too, about joining Powell as a champion. You know what I'm saying? But to your point, in the totality of it, that's probably what he was thinking. And again, I'm only talking about from a basketball standpoint. It was and he probably would say this if you pin him, it's the perfect situation for him. And again, he didn't have to be Superman. He didn't have to come outside of his comfort level ever. And look, this was part of the narrative around him up there the whole season. I mean, they were going crazy on him for a while for not being aggressive enough. And it was the issue down here. It was the perfect situation. He didn't have to be in the front seat. He didn't have to drive it. I mean, yeah, by gosh, it's Kawhi driving it. Fred VanVleet is driving it. And he fit right in. So anyway, this is not to be mistaken for, I'm not happy for Mark. Just thought that was something that jumped out to me last night.
Yeah,
probably talking about the totality of the whole thing. Jeff,
and,
I think you're on it there.
Well, also in fairness, like, I do want to give like Mark some credence in the fact that he clearly didn't want that microphone. Like last night, you know what I mean? Like, after that first question, he's trying to step aside, and she's like, no, wait,
on the second one.
We got one more, and so, you know, maybe it's just the classic thing of, like, you're just trying to give an answer that gets you off the stage as quick as possible, so I don't know if I'd hold that to him. And,
oh, yeah, I'm certainly not holding it against him. No, and look, I thought, he wrapped his arm around, I went back and watched, because, again, I'm stuck on Doris in those situations. I'm always, as an interviewer, observing interviewers. You know what I'm saying? And their
yes.
style. This is why I love Doris Burke. She asked the tough questions. You said it off air coming in. It was the perfect word. She's fearless.
Yes.
She has a way that she can ask anything, and that respect level will come back, and they feel like that she's going to get her answer. I absolutely love it. And so anyway, I'm watching her closely, and Mark puts his arm around her. And that's sort of an ask me anything you want to, you know, sort of gesture.
Sure.
when you open yourself up to that. So I appreciated Mark getting up there and to answering the second question, because like you said, he was ready to roll after the first one. He was all done. Hey, this isn't about me, which we love. It's classy, Mark. And she, hold on, big boy. I got to ask you one more about Memphis. And he was classy. I like the answer. Yeah, but, you know, some folks thought it wasn't enough. I thought it was plenty. To add to it, you know, you make me the player and the man that I am. I thought that was pure respect, and I for one appreciated it. I did. I thought it was great.
If indeed Kevin Durant winds up leaving, and now it even more complicates matters with Klay Thompson now that he's got the torn ACL.
You're talking about next spring when he's coming back.
March. I don't know if ironic's the word, but let's say that this is it for them. Is it weird that the run begins with a championship that was somewhat, you know, marred by injuries from the Cavs perspective?
That's true.
You get Love, Kyrie Irving, and then it bookends with a loss in a finals that, from their perspective, is marred in injury.
It was kind of surreal to watch them deteriorate and sort of, and just from the, I mean, half of it's bad luck. I mean, Klay.
Oh, yeah.
Someone made the point this morning on Get Up. How many times does Klay actually go to the basket on that play rather than flaring out to the three-point line? It's very rare. You know, the whole team gets up when Klay dunks the ball. He does it so rarely. And here he's going to the basket against Danny Green, and the one few times that he does comes down on it wrong. And then, you know, after a monster game, he's out. You've seen KD go down. It's to the point where, like, Steph's crouching, like, can you believe this for us? And it's almost like all the good stuff that's gone well for them. Let's keep in mind, I mean, for the most part, no major injuries. It's all come back in one series and hit them all at one time, and it's like watching something just some sort of implode. You know what I'm saying? From a health standpoint. So that part of it was sort of surreal, and you're right, it sort of opened up with how they, you know, the other team being the injured one. Look, this was I don't know if I'm ready to say, and I heard you guys talking about this, because I think Golden State can, you know, they've tasted this now. They've got the new arena coming. And I don't, you know, maybe they do get to a point at some point where they can only, you know, Steph and Klay and take care of those guys. They're going to do Draymond, whatever, where you've got to let KD go, like you've said, and that's really all you can do, and you're putting pieces around it. It's still the same cast, but the West is going to be wide open. You know, I'm not writing them off when they've got Steph and Klay, and again, we think Klay will be late coming back. Will he be the same guy immediately? We don't know. My respect level for him went up this year. I don't know how it couldn't have. In terms of his, what you think of his toughness, that kind of thing. But I'm not ready to write him off, Jeffrey. I don't know if that's where you were going completely, but I just feel like that franchise with the new arena, with what they've tasted, with what they still can do, you know, Bulls came back and won three more.
Sure.
There's no reason to think that they can't put the right pieces around those guys, maybe even with a different guy or two, and come back and do this thing again. West is wide open for now.
The Bulls did win three more, but there's also that idea of, even when Jordan retired the first time, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just because I was a kid and you don't ever want to believe, like, something's really over. But, like, I never believed that he wouldn't come back. You know what I mean? And that's with Jordan.
I did, because of his dad.
Yeah.
Look, I was the biggest Mike fan ever. And I remember I was working in Overton Square when it was announced that you know, he was retiring. It devastated me. And I thought, because of his – I remember cutting out the clippings and following the murder investigation of his father, and I thought because of that maybe it was done. Just because we knew how tight that attachment was. You're right. There was still so much competitor. I should have known better. There was still so much of a competitor left in Mike. But once he decided the baseball thing and all of a sudden he's, you know, he's getting serious about it, I did. I thought it was over. Now, to go on to the point, you kept some of those same cast members. Now, what, you switched out Horace Grant and you brought in – Rodman, you know, you sort of switch some things up. And I think with Klay and with Steph, I mean, these Klay Thompson, again, Hall of Fame DNA. And we talked about this with Rick Barry. He's one of the greatest shooters ever. But last night you saw championship heart. Dude, him bouncing around on that ACL. Now, I know he's not going to play. And it's all adrenaline at that point. But him wanting to go was unbelievable to me. Like his toughness. And anyway, when you've got that, right, so this – no, man, our destiny is the championship. You put it with Steph, with their skills, you know, keep Draymond 19 rebounds last night. He's 6'7". Wasn't it 19? I think 15 of them defensive rebounds. You cannot write them off. Because, again, even if it's without KD, those guys have been through it before. You sort of play with the pieces there. And, again, in the wide-open West, I think they're still a tough out.
Well, I think the other problem is
– watch out for LeBron, though.
Well, I think that's the other aspect of this is, to me, it's really difficult to say one way or the other. And I know maybe that's bad radio, but there's so many uncertainties right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now, according to Mark Stein – The Lakers are not backing off on Kyle Kuzma, which is so dumb. Like, I get it. You really like Kyle Kuzma.
I know, I do too, but I'm with you.
You're trying to get Anthony Davis. Like, that's it. Like, you are going to have to give up something. Right. Like, that's the whole point of a trade.
Anthony Davis.
Yes. Like, so, you know, what now with Durant being hurt, does maybe that impact whether or not Kyrie wanted to go and team up with Durant? Now, does Kyrie
sound like some of the reports are that he'll still go with Durant and not worry about the 1 year?
Or does LeBron put the full court press on him and say,
"Hey,
you left me once"?
That's what I do if I'm LeBron, because that's a guy that you were touching on earlier, likes to take his time off at this point of his age and needs to save some of the tread on those tires. Kyrie's perfect for that.
Yes.
He can take over parts of games. Why would that not be the best fit? And Kyrie, again, he knows what he's getting into. With LeBron, you know what I'm saying? It's not some new guy. It's not Kawhi or somebody having to come and learn about a guy that's probably going to be taking the lead on quite a few things. Kyrie already knows. And quite frankly, for the style of game he plays, for what we've seen, for what we saw again in Boston, he needs a 1A. And Kyrie needs to be, 1B.
He needs to be Robin.
Yes. That's the – anyway.
And then the other flip side is,
scenario.
Like, what does Kawhi do?
No question. We have no idea. And actually, I actually feel like he's leaving.
I know, it is weird.
But I have no idea, but it just feels like he's gone.
I completely agree with you. And it's weird because at the beginning of the series, like, well, if he wins, he's for sure going to stay.
Sure, it's a great situation. You're in the East. I mean, this thing's set up for you to have a nice little run here, much like Golden State just did.
But I could not agree with you more. It really is weird how it just feels like he's leaving, and I don't know why, but it does.
She asked him, Doris asked him about Toronto a little bit and these fans, and the answer was still, I'm going to think about that later. It's like, there is no love. Now, that doesn't mean he's not coming back because, again, he would be the best poker player ever. He doesn't give off a thing.
Is he the super team killer? Like, should he just become – like, I feel like he should just sign, like, one-year rentals and just become a mercenary to beat whatever dynasty. You know, he breaks up the Heat, if you will, LeBron's version of the Heat. I guess technically he broke up the Spurs with himself. And they now, you know, whether or not he ends Golden State, I guess it remains to be seen.
My question is, Danny Ainge is watching last night. Does this convince you, all right, you know what, I'm going to go all in for a year on Anthony? Because look what it did for Toronto. They took the chance. Now it's a little bit different situation because Anthony's telling you, man, you come take me. It's just a year. Kawhi didn't say anything. The option's there, but he didn't say anything. That's what he does. With Anthony, it's a little bit different. They're telling you, man, it's only going to be for a year. But, again, you watch him, to your point about busting up these super teams. Well, there's a deal with maybe with Kawhi. You do the same thing. You go for a year, and you hope that it works out for the 1 year. Again, a lot of that going to depend on what you're being asked to give up. I think with Davis, listening to Marks, reading everything, it sounds like it's going to have to be a multiple team deal because, everybody's so scared to come off everything. Whether it's Kuzma with the Lakers or whether it's with Tatum with Boston, it may end up having to be a multiple team deal to get him.
No, it's weird because Daryl Morey's position, and I guess that's kind of where Ujiri Uzuri kind of falls down. If you have a 5% chance of winning a title, you go in.
Take it.
All in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did Vegas odds, the Raptors had a 2.5% chance of winning a title. And so he went all in, even with less than a 5% chance.
Well, it was going to come back to haunt him at some point, and man, my gosh, has it not right now.
God.
Because, they've got the whole team up for sale. Nobody wants Chris Paul at this point. I mean, somebody will take him, but at this point, they're kind of stuck. And again, I don't know why, again, in a like we touched on, in what should be a wide open West like next year, injuries galore to some of the top teams. I don't know why you wouldn't just run it back if you're Houston. But again, Morey's always making the move, always trying to go all in each year.
Jason, what's coming up on the show today?
We have got Dontari Poe, former Tiger. He's got a camp this weekend. And then at the end, third hour, we're going to talk to a man that I know well, an old friend. Third winningest coach in Shelby Metro boys basketball history. He is back. Fred Horton is a new coach in Whitehaven. How about that? Amanda Coach Lorenz and Wright, Andre Allen, and many, many more.
We look forward to it.
Booker T. Washington. Appreciate you, man. Keep up the good work, brother.
When we come back, Chris Harrington joins the program. Stick around. You're listening to the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Fast, reliable internet. Is that important to your business?
We couldn't work without it.
At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, how about automatic 4G LTE backup for complete reliability?
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected and bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees.
I didn't know Comcast Business did that.
Oh, I'm not done yet. Advanced voice solutions at affordable prices. How about business TV that keeps customers entertained?
Okay, I'm convinced. But didn't you say something about a great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for EcoBill and automatic payments. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without EcoBill and autopay offer in 6/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Equipment taxes and fees.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.